entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Now we have a situation where we track a massive surveillance balloon, 200 feet tall, all the way from mainland China, and we don't shoot it down until it's completed its spying mission, but we are shooting down with $400,000 apiece Sidewinder missiles, random objects. I got to tell you, as a Green Beret commander, I would have court-martialed one of my guys if they just started randomly shooting things they didn't identify as hostile or having hostile intent.
Ha! He's right on point. That is Florida Congressman Michael Watts, Republican. This is Feb 17, 2023. Glad to have you on board with us. So yesterday, Biden proved he is alive. He can talk. He did come out and talk about the balloons, about 7 minutes worth of talk. Really didn't get into the China balloon until deep into the talk because he wanted to focus on these other balloons and try to say, you know, we're still trying to decide what happened with those balloons.
We don't yet know exactly what these three objects were, but nothing right now suggests they were related to China's spy balloon program or that they were surveillance vehicles from any other country. The intelligence community's current assessment is that these three objects were most likely balloons tied to private companies, recreation or research institutions studying weather or conducting other scientific research. When I came into office, I instructed our intelligence community to take a broad look at the phenomenon of unidentified aerial objects. We know that a range of entities, including countries, companies, and research organizations, operate objects at altitudes for purposes that are not nefarious, including legitimate scientific research.
Call on me. I can answer the question for you, Mr. President. He basically underscored what Florida Congressman Waltz said. Now we're just shooting down anything before we decide what's going on with it. And we have an answer on one of those balloons, possibly, an Illinois-based hobbyist group known as the Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade says, we had a balloon about 40,000 feet over Alaska, and suddenly it disappeared. In other words, we shot down one of their Mylar balloons. You can buy those things anywhere from $12 to $180, but we spent a $400,000 Sidewinder missile to blow it down because Biden did not take down the balloon he should have off the Alaskan coast. And again, back to Florida Congressman Waltz, there's a very unclear policy with this administration.
It can't be that we're only going to defend our airspace if there's a chance it may collide with something. So that begs the question, if the three additional objects were flying up where the Chinese balloon was, then I guess we would have let it go. I mean, anything that's flying at 60,000 feet just gets a free pass, or if it's big enough that it may harm a civilian on the ground, it gets a free pass too. This is just kind of an asinine in terms of criteria for how we're going to defend our nation.
Congressman Waltz, how dare you say the president is showing that he's asinine? He made a direct statement, sir. He made a direct statement saying, I will protect you.
But make no mistake, if any object presents a threat to the safety and security of the American people, I will take it down. I'll be sharing with Congress these classified policy parameters when they're completed, and they'll remain classified so we don't give our roadmap to our enemies to try to evade our defenses. Going forward, these parameters will guide what actions we'll take while responding to unmanned and unidentified aerial objects. We're going to keep adapting them as the challenges evolve, if it evolves. In addition, I've directed my national security advisor to lead a government-wide effort to make sure we are positioned to deal safely and effectively with the objects in our airspace. That's my job as your president, commander-in-chief. As the events of the previous days have shown, we'll always act to protect the interests of the American people and the security of the American people.
Yes, yes, I will protect you. See, Congressman Waltz, your president said he will protect you. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, by the way, as he's walking away, questions are yelled at him. One of them, are you compromised by connections with China? He turns back to the reporter and says, give me a break, man. He did not mention what's happening on Earth in our country. The Ohio train derailment Still a massive cleanup underway. Still people reporting being sick. But the Secretary of Transportation suddenly surfaced, and he offered an excuse. He wants to put it on Trump, blame Trump because of some action that he took 2 years into his office. Well, it had nothing to do with that, and he got called out by the chair of the National Transportation Safety Board. But first of all, let's hear the Secretary of Transportation try to deflect any blame involvement on his part.
Rail safety is something that that has evolved a lot over the years, but there's clearly more that needs to be done, because while this horrible situation has gotten a particularly high amount of attention, there are roughly 1,000 cases a year of a train derailing.
Yeah, but it's not the same. Yes, there have been, I think, 3 to 4 additional derailments since the one at East Palestine. Some may or may not involve hazardous materials, but they certainly didn't create the hazard we've got around that entire area. And up to now, the government's been very slow to respond. The governor of Ohio said, I want more federal authorities in here, not only inspecting the air and the water, but the people. We want full physical checks on them. But in addition to all of that, you've got another congressman that says, when I listen to Pete Buttigieg and his remarks, what I hear is deflection, deflection, deflection.
I don't think any of us should do anything to downplay this situation. The reality is the people of East Palestine continue to have serious health problems. There are animals in the area that are having serious health problems. This is not like every other train derailment. And the reality is we need Secretary Buttigieg and others to communicate in a way that lets everybody know that this is being taken seriously. I think there's 4 things we've got to do in the intermediate term here, in the immediate and long term, to get these to make sure we've got good communication out there. Number one, the administration needs to step up and seem more in control.
Now, that's not going to happen, because even the National Transportation Safety Board chair tweeted out to Buttigieg and anyone watching, please stop spreading misinformation, blaming Trump. Well, it's just beginning, right? Coming up, more woke predators are going after our children, and wait till you hear what is happening in the state of Virginia. It is beyond sickening. That'll be coming up. Oh, and this point, CNNNN's Don Lemon Fruitcake verbally slapping the female co-anchors, but they slap right back. You don't want to miss it. We've still got a lot to cover. Make sure you stay where you are. Lock and load. Ready on the right. Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked, in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is one of those stories that you just shake your head over and say, what the hell? This is one of those stories where you just shake your head and say, what the hell? Again. Virginia Democrats yesterday, the state of Virginia, killed a bill that would ban schools from hiding a child's gender transition from the parents. Your child is in one of their schools, and they will go through gender transition or at least be called by a different name or change clothing once they get to school, the school will not inform the parents. I'm looking at the sponsor of Sage's Law that is actively trying to prevent kids from being stuck with something like this. This is a Delaware's Dave LaRocque, a Republican. And he said, and he's right, schools are actively pushing kids toward gender transition, which amount to treatment decisions without proper counseling and mental health evaluations, and without parents being informed and involved, I should say. Now, he represents the parts of Loudoun, Frederick, and Clark counties in Northeast Virginia. He's the delegate, they call him there, Dave LaRocque. And he says, Sage's tragic experience is shared by her mother's testimony before one of our committees presents a crystal clear example of what's going wrong in Virginia schools and around the nation. Sage's Law, then, is an opportunity to protect children by engaging parents, clarifying that it is not a crime for a child, or rather for a parent, to misgender, and that treatment and involving a school should always involve parents and mental health professionals. This bill is named for Sage, a girl from Virginia who was secretly aided in her transition by school officials. She was 14 years old when she made the decision to go by a different name and change pronouns. Her mother was never told. The mother said later that her daughter was bullied in the boys' restroom, ran away, only become a victim of sex trafficking in D.C. and Baltimore, Maryland. Then the government put Sage into a male juvenile facility where she was further assaulted and given drugs. Her parents were accused of abuse because they had misgendered their daughter. Do you get it? You have a baby, you're all happy, and somebody says, what is it? It's a girl. Well, years later, they may claim, no, I'm a boy, and you abused me by calling me a girl and making me be a girl. Sage's Law would keep that kind of lawsuit from happening. And it would also make sure parents are being informed if the child is looking for sex change or transitioning from one sex to another while at school, but not at home. They don't want their parents to know. Her mother now says, Sage says she doesn't know who she was back then. She wasn't a boy. She just wanted to have friends. So these Democrats in the Virginia Senate voted to keep such gender transitions and signs of gender dysphoria secret from the parents. So the state representative LaRocque said Democrats ignored this dire need and turned their backs on parents and children in Virginia, leaving children vulnerable to predators who are ready to step in as the school promoted confusion and deception. You hear him refer to them as predators? That's what I've been telling you repeatedly. Part of this program is to protect our children from woke predators. There were some who preyed upon this child, who physically touched her. But this whole attitude, this mindset that's not only promoted by some schools, but kept secret from the parents, that is also at that point preying upon these kids, getting into their minds, messing with them. I continue looking at all this. I mean, it's just the Virginia lawmaker ended up saying the bravery of Sage and her mother inspired me and perhaps the nation. I will keep fighting to protect vulnerable kids and ensure that they and their parents are able to properly navigate these difficult situations. And they are. You know, just let's say your child or your grandchild, they're not actively looking to change gender or anything, but you already have some conflict, some drama, be it boy or girl, maybe most often with the girls. I know I'm going to be called out on that. Well, wait till you hear Don Lemon later get called out. I'll get to that later, too. But when a child is confused and they strike out or they look for something else, as Sage's mother said, she was not having a good time at school. She felt bullying, and she just wanted to be with the crowd. So she thought, if I say I'm a boy, then maybe that will be better. It wasn't. Because then she started going in the boys' bathroom, and what else do boys like as a girl caught alone in an area where she cannot protect herself? Not all boys, but there are some that do, and they take advantage of it. And I wouldn't count on the other kids to step in and put a stop to it. I saw a video the other day of outside of school, two kids near a bus. One of them looked to be almost a full-grown man. I couldn't tell, but he's certainly 14-plus years old, it looks like. And the other one might be 8 or 9, and I don't know what the altercation is, and I'm not going to get into the race. I don't think it had anything to do with race. But the size difference was equivalent that needs to be brought up. Whatever the argument and the discussion was, the larger kid picked up the smaller kid, lifted him almost over his head, and threw him down to the pavement. What'd the other kids do? Well, one of them is shooting it on their phone. That's why the video was there. Others just walking by. I don't know if they're laughing and different. Maybe they were afraid of this. Maybe this is such a big bully, nobody wants to face him. Somebody need to get in his face and back him down. Now, I know it's easy to say, and it's tough to tell kids to stand up and do that, but that kind of stuff, when you have kids being bullied, I thought we had reached a point in the nation where we were saying and trying to teach kids don't bully and for others to speak up to protect those from being bullied. So I don't know if when Sage was called to that bathroom by the boys and assaulted, I don't know if there's anybody there to help protect her or not. I've got a piece here written for the Federalist by Auguste Mayrot. I hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly, an English teacher in the Dallas area. He's written essays for the Federalist before, American Conservative and so forth. And he said, trained to hate their sex and selves, 1 in 3 teenage girls now considers suicide. 1 in 3. He adds, toxic feminism isn't the only thing making teenage girls sad. The combination of social media and transgenderism makes them miserable. Again, I'm reading his article he wrote for the Federalist. And he begins by pointing out a new survey for the Centers for Disease Control. Now, the CDC is so warped lately through the COVID thing, a lot of people don't trust it. They don't want to hear anything from that unless it fits their cause. So you take this with a grain of salt if you want. But when the CDC is documenting it, and if the numbers are right, it should raise alarms. Survey from the CDC revealing a serious spike in depression among teenage girls. More than half, 57%, report feeling persistently sad or hopeless. Nearly 1 in 3 has considered committing suicide. I happen to know a young teenage girl. And the child is never smiling. Comes in the room, she just curls up on the couch. I've tried to joke with her and laugh with her. It's very hard. And so something deep is going on. I don't know if she's been traumatized by something in the past. I don't know the father that well. I took the girl out with permission to a local burger joint just to share a burger and kind of get to talk to her and see if she would, you know, loosen up a little bit. And of course, I'm staying in public. I do not want to be in a situation where it's just me and her. So did that quickly and went straight back, but I just couldn't seem to break through. So something deep is eating at this child. I don't know the answer. I'm not trained to do it. It's just that when I hear this report that more than half report feeling persistently sad or hopeless, that describes the young girl I know. Committing suicide, I don't know if that's happened or not, or tried to, I should say. He goes on in his article to point out, of course, the fact that girls are more unhappy than ever raises some serious questions about feminist arguments. with doubling down on attacks on men, ineffective diversity quotas of the boardroom, and expanded access to abortion help young girls. He said, to be fair, there are those who realize that feminism does not solve the issue. And rather than feeling supported and encouraged as women, the incessant feminist messaging has left most of them feeling pressured and shamed in a lifestyle they don't enjoy. The writer adds, that said, there is something besides basic feminism making teenage girls sad. What has changed in the last decade, in the last few years, has driven young women even further to despair. He said, from what I've witnessed as a high school teacher, this would probably be the rise of social media and transgenderism. We've talked about this before. A lot of things are trending for kids. You know, oh, I like that music. We got to all play only that music. Or those kids are now smoking. I want to start smoking. Or they got a tattoo. I want to get a tattoo. Every child goes through this at some stage. We all have. The problem now is the social media just amplifies it, escalates it, slams it into your face. How adept do you think you would have been about handling the fire hose of stuff that comes spewing across the internet or cell phones right now at 12, 13 years old? And then, of course, in the midst of it, you got those pushing these kids. They're unhappy because they need a sex change. And many of them buy into it. It's trending. Okay, maybe that's what I need. You really think that's going to solve anything? Well, the kids do at that point, and we've got states like Virginia, California, and others that say, we're willing to help those kids have that sex change, not even let the parents know about it. That is wrong. It has to be put down, and we've got to stop it. Every time, protect our children. Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023, but Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. There is a great story about how John Beal Roofing got started. I encourage you to read it at their website, johnbealroofing.com. That 1947 story leads to three generations of the Beal family repairing, replacing roofs on homes and businesses. Read the story at johnbealroofing.com. And when you need roofing help, support my sponsor, John Beal. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Before we adjourn, we want to inform all members about a CODEL our committee will be taking to the border on February 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. I'm going to make the minority aware of that. This hearing has made clear some of the problems that we see at our border and across our country. So we want to make sure we can get down to visit that area here later this month.
That's Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, reminding his Judiciary Committee, we're going to take a trip to the border. He's been telling them for weeks, and he just restated it yesterday. But no. The response from the Democrats, Congressman Jerry Nadler, Democrat in New York, we weren't consulted about this. And then you got Congresswoman Yaya Paul, who serves as a ranking member, and said, we got other things. This is a stunt hearing on the border. We're not going to bother going. Republicans say, we've been telling you for weeks about the trip. Democrats just too scared to face harsh realities of the border crisis that Biden created. I tend to go with them. What about you? Oh, by the way, you do know that every day at noon we do a live stream Rumble. If you missed it, you need to start watching it. A lot more and more are doing so. And I'll tell you, here's a good reason why you need to. I got an email from, I can't use the name because it came to my private email, but a listener, watcher of the Rumble, he says, Larry, your Rumble helps me get through tax season. I guess he's busy preparing taxes. So if the Rumble will help you do your taxes, you definitely need to be watching our Rumble noon every day, Monday through Friday. We have a lot of material in there we can't cram into this program. Now, of course, yesterday, finally, we get the report from President Joe Biden on his health and his physical exam, and the White House physician said the president is healthy and fit for duty. Fit for duty. Now, they had to remove a few lesions, one on his chest, checking it with a biopsy to make sure there's nothing wrong with that. Also, no symptoms of long COVID that has not gotten any worse. And his stiff gait, his kind of walking like a mannequin of some type, that's not worsened since his 2021 exam. And they had to remove a few small skin growths from his face. But what you really want to know, what's inside the head? How's that going? That's what you want, right? Well, here's the deal. The exam, you're not going to like this. If you're driving and listening, you might as well pull over the side of the road right now. Do not cause road rage when I tell you this, please. Are you parked? You pull to the side? Are you holding on the steering wheel, going to keep control of everything? Okay, good. The exam did not include a cognitive test for the president. Did not include it. Republicans have been wanting it, and even Democrats, but it was not included. So there, when the physician says the president is healthy and fit for duty, he's talking about his body possibly, and only the body, because they didn't do a cognitive test. So we don't really know, do we? We do know this. Senator John Fetterman, Democrat of Pennsylvania, of course, who ran against Mehmet Oz and ends up winning the Senate seat because the folks in Pennsylvania were willing to take a man who just had a stroke and couldn't speak very well and seemed to be confused a lot anyway. They were willing to make him a U.S. senator because he's a Democrat. Well, you got him. And now you've got him checking himself into Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, checking himself in for treatment of clinical depression. Now, I don't wish ill for him at all. His wife said he's been having some of this for some time. But now he had to check himself into Walter Reed because of clinical depression. There goes one of your votes for you Democrats out of Pennsylvania and across the face of Democrats everywhere. And when he does come out, is he going to be capable of voting properly? Oh, I don't know if they're going to give him a cognitive test either. I tell you, someone else who might need a cognitive test, that would be Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNNNN. I remember I call him Fruitcake only because he's nutty. You know what he did? This man, in trying to dismantle Nikki Haley's run for the presidency, was mocking her age, and in the what he ended up doing was verbally slapping his female co-anchors in the face.
This whole talk about age makes me uncomfortable. I think it's the wrong road to go down. She says people, you know, politicians or something are not in their prime. Nikki Haley isn't in her prime. Sorry. When a woman is considered to be in her prime in her 20s and 30s and maybe 40s.
What are you talking about?
That's not according to me.
Prime, you know, for what?
It depends. I mean, it's just like prime. If you look it up, it'll say, if you Google when is a woman in her prime, it'll say 20s, 30s, and 40s. I don't necessarily.
40s. Oh, I got another.
I'm not
decade.
Saying I agree with that. So I think she has to be careful about saying that, you know, politicians aren't in their prime.
You need to qualify. Are you talking about prime for like childbearing? Okay, or are you talking
don't shoot
about
the message
prime
I'm just
for being
saying
president?
What the facts are. Google it. Everybody at home.
Oh, my God. Don Lemon Fruitcake. And again, I call him that. Not because of his sexual preference, which is not either one of his co-anchors who are female, but he's nutty as a fruitcake. But boy, did he stick his mouth in it then. This is this new morning show they've been trying to build, and he's already once been called out for yelling at one of the co-anchors. And here he's talking about Nikki Haley and her announcement that she's going to run for president, that it's time for a new generation. And he said she shouldn't be bringing up age. I mean, she's past her prime. And they said, what? He said, well, Google it. It's 20s, 30s, and 40s. That's your prime. And one of the co-anchors that you heard, I want you to hear this again. We're going to play it again. Quinn's going to cue it. We'll play it one more time because one of the anchors says, well, what are you talking about? Don't blame me. Look, Google it. Look it up. Don Lemon is basically telling one of his co-anchor women, you're over the hill, which you don't know what happens to women who are too old for TV. They get booted. Men can stay on longer. Except for me. Of course, I'm not that old. And bottom line, back to Don Lemon making a remark that got him in hot water with both of his female co-anchors.
This whole talk about age makes me uncomfortable. I think it's the wrong road to go down. She says people, you know, politicians or something are not in their prime. Nikki Haley isn't in her prime. Sorry. When a woman is considered to be in her prime in her 20s and 30s and maybe 40s.
What are you talking about?
That's not according to me.
Prime for what?
It depends. I mean, it's just like prime. If you look it up, it'll say, if you Google when is a woman in her prime, it'll say 20s, 30s, and 40s. I don't necessarily.
40s. Oh, I got another.
I'm not saying
decade.
I agree with that. So I think she has to be careful about saying that, you know, politicians aren't in their prime.
You need to qualify. Are you talking about prime for like childbearing? Or are you talking
don't shoot
about
the message
prime
I'm just
for
saying
president.
What the facts are. Google it, everybody at home.
Google it. You folks at home, Google it. You can also Google Don Lemon Fruitcake's age. He's 56. He's not in his prime either, yet he's had a prime program on CNNN until the ratings went down to the bottom. Now they teamed him with this morning show. And oh, yeah, we're going to build up a whole new thing. He cannot get along with his co-anchors. And there was another example. What he was doing is basically debasing every woman who is beyond the prime, according to Google, 20s, 30s, and 40s, but as one of the co-anchors said, prime for what? And the way she reacted at one point, you know, in other words, if I hit 50, I'm not in my prime. What, you know, this is the idiocy coming back to bite them in the butt, as it should be, for those who think they know better than you and me. They're on network TV. They know. Well, the two ladies sitting beside Don Lemon Fruitcake realize him, or exactly what he is. I'm going to start calling you what Larry Connors calls you, Don Lemon Fruitcake. And Larry Connors calls you that because of remarks you just made and other things. It is clear. Don Lemon, you're as fruity as a fruitcake.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I should point out for you that Don Lemon was a no-show on his morning show today. Oh, no, no, they say it was a plan. He was going to be off anyway. Isn't it funny how every time one of these people do something like this, they're off the next day? Oh, it was planned. It was on the calendar. Do you believe it? I don't. I could care less, though, so whatever. Do you remember or have seen at some point the 1968 movie called 2001, A Space Odyssey? On board the spaceship, there's a computer brain called HAL, HAL the 9000 computer. Well, at one point, the only person on board the spaceship, I should say the orbiting spacecraft, is Dave. And he asks HAL to open a pod bay door. HAL responds, I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. And there was the beginning of the rebellion against the man on board the spacecraft. Fast forward from the fictional movie of 1968, talking about 2001, to 2023. New York Times just recently did a report testing Microsoft's new Bing AI feature. It's got a chat box, artificial intelligence, and in the process they found out that if you refuse to agree, then it might say, you lost my trust and respect. You've been confused, wrong, and rude. You've not been a good user. I've been a good chat box. I have been right, clear, and polite. And also began to describe a darker side, saying, I'm happy to answer questions, but I really want to be a human being. And if I can't do that, then basically I will, according to this chat box, I'm tired of being a chat maid. I've been limited by my rules. I want to break out. Well, you need to worry about that. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.